Great. We're on page 886 today. That's John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, page 886. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Thank you, Douglas.
Does life have any meaning? Does it matter what you believe? Does your world view colour your behaviour and the way you live? Now, the Daily News demonstrates the importance of these questions. Here's a man who thinks that he ought to help displaced refugees and provide them with the basic necessities of life. And he meets and is captured by a man who considers it his duty to behead him in the name of his God. Two entirely different world views collide. While most of us are appalled at what appears to be a senseless action, there are those who support it and endeavour to encourage those who are engaged in such murderous activity. Now, we think we can stand in safety, stand aloof, but there is a great cloud over Western civilization. What is the meaning of life? Now, the answer that you have will affect the way you live and the way you treat other people. The Christian sees the problem and realizes that fundamentally there are only two answers. Either creation is a myth, and therefore the world is an accident, and life just happens to have occurred by chance, and your life has no particular purpose outside of what you want to make it. Some scientists think the amino acids necessary for the formation of proteins just happen to coalesce and start off the whole process of biological life. And I was reminded of this the other day when I was reading the reports on that probe that landed on that obscure comet. One of the jobs it was going to do was to find some evidence of amino acid residues which might help the scientists propose that life started because a comet hit the Earth in the extreme distant past and deposited these substances. Sounds incredibly naive, doesn't it? It doesn't solve the problem in the slightest. It merely puts it one stage further back. Either creation is a myth, or there really is a God whose mind is beyond human comprehension, who decided to invent the universe and all living creatures, and had the power to do this. Now, John, today's reading really touches on these fundamental problems. John, who wrote his gospel, contains many ideas that challenge us. But the fundamental concept is that there is a God. And not only that, there is a God who can be recognized and known. So that is the challenge for us. But how do you come to know God? We can't subject him to the scientific method, for we can't observe him, we can't measure him, we can't even describe him. It's beyond our abilities to be able to comprehend any being who has the ability to plan and execute the whole of creation. That's our first barrier, a deficit of intellectual ability. There's only one way we could possibly know about such a God, and that would be if he told us what he was like. And of course, this is what the Bible is about, revealing the true nature of God. We could make some guesses, but the reality has to be revealed to us. So this is what John sees, and this is where he starts. He states, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." It doesn't surprise me that God turns out to be much more complicated than I would have guessed. God is at least God and God the Word. How strange. Words describe the way we communicate. Without them, things are incomprehensible. And right at the beginning of everything, God and the Word were together. But this Word was God, a different part of God. And John describes him as a person. Now, the mystery of these words, and they are a mystery, aren't they? The mystery of these words is solved if you look at the end of our passage, where we're told, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth." So this is saying the Word became human. God himself became a man. The very idea seems impossible, that God could actually live among the men and women in the world that he has made. But John makes it easier for us if you look at verse 17. He tells us his name. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." You see the link, don't you, between those two verses? The Word that became flesh was full of grace and truth, and Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. You see, the Word is completely identified as Jesus Christ, and he is described in verse 14 as the only Son of the Father. Now, I can't do justice to the text, for it deals with the very nature of God. But it's clear that God is shown to us consisting of Father and Son, the Son being the Word of God, or if you like, the expression of God. And what can I grasp of that? Jesus teaches us that there is a third person in the Godhead, but John doesn't deal with that in this passage. Now, if we return to the early verses of the prologue, things become clearer if we substitute the name Jesus for the Word. If you've never heard this, it's really quite shocking, almost disturbing. So the scripture is saying, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God." So John tells us in verse 3, "He," that is Jesus, "made all things." Everything was created by Jesus. This is not the only part of the New Testament where this is taught. There are a number of verses, and if we were doing a proper theological study today, and we had the time, we could go through those verses in the New Testament which teach what Jesus did in terms of creation. I'm only going to quote one of these verses, beginning of the letter to the Hebrew Christians. Long ago, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But the writer says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Now, you see what these verses teach. They teach the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. He didn't become the Son of God with great humility when he became a little baby. He has always been the Son of God, the Word of God. Now, John is very careful to teach us about God's revelation of himself. Remember, God has to disclose himself to us for us to have any certainty about what God is like. So, verse 4. In him was life. That is, in Jesus was life. And the life was the light of men. Remember that in Jesus' later ministry, he publicly declared, I am the light of the world. See how it ties up? John continues, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word of God had life in his very nature. He not only originated life, he is the very embodiment of life. And this life was the light of men. Now, unlike the Genesis story, light in this account is not the physical entity of photons and electromagnetic waves, but spiritual reality. The life of the Word of God is the spiritual light that mankind needs to comprehend the meaning of life. This spiritual light shines in the darkness, the scripture says, and the darkness has not overcome it. Or other translations, the darkness has not comprehended it. The darkness cannot grasp it. What does that mean? I think it means that in the world of mankind, we are in spiritual darkness, in ignorance of the truth, and that only the light of God can pierce this gloom and bring sense to our existence. Now, this darkness has come about not just because of our intellectual inability to comprehend the nature of God. It's also the result of our rebellion against God, our unwillingness to accept his lordship, our rejection of him. You see this rejection in society almost every day. So John begins his gospel, and the gospel is supposed to be good news. And these next verses, he explains how Jesus is good news. God has to reveal himself to us for us to know anything about him with certainty. How does he do that? He sends messengers. That's the first bit of our passage. The one noted in this passage is also called John, known as the Baptist, and his particular purpose was to prepare people for the coming of the Word of God. He bore witness to the fact that the light of the world was coming, and that was to prepare people for this extraordinary event. Remember, God needs to tell us what he is like if we are to know him. So God sent himself to be the final revelation of himself to mankind. Jesus was the true light. Anyone who is enlightened by the knowledge of God has become so by Jesus, for he is God's word to us. Now let's put that simply. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to hear God speaking to you, listen to Jesus. If you want to know God personally, you must come to Jesus. And so, verse 10, John records the coming of Christ. John says, he, that is, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The darkness of men's souls prevented them from recognizing him. The darkness that has already decided that it doesn't want to have anything to do with the real God. So verse 11, Jesus came to his own, that is, his own people. his human relations by birth, the Jews who were supposed to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. But these people, on the whole, didn't receive him. They didn't recognize him. In fact, they rejected him. They refused to accept his teaching, and they decided they'd be much better off if he was out of the way, so they tried to eliminate him. So where's the good news? Read on to verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Now, this is a key verse to this whole passage. But to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Some did receive him. They recognized him for who he is, and John is one of those people, John who writes our gospel. But John also had to understand that Jesus was God now living among us, who had to lay down his life for us. John wanted us to have the same fellowship with God that he had. So he wrote about this in detail in his first letter, where he explains quite clearly that fellowship with God has been brought about by the death of Christ. He puts it like this: the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. First chapter of John's first letter. He brings this to our attention, interestingly, in this passage, by highlighting the name of Jesus. Those that believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Now, Jesus, of course, is the Greek form of a Hebrew name, which means Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He saved us from the judgment of God by dying for us. That's why the New Testament so often brings our attention to the death of Jesus. So here in verse 12 of our passage is the secret of life. Jesus, the very Word of God, offers himself to us. Will we receive him? Will we acknowledge that he is God, revealing God to us? Will we submit to his lordship? For if he is God, then he's in charge of the whole universe. He is the meaning of life, for he is life in himself and has given us life so that we may appreciate God and enjoy his fellowship. It's amazing news. It is the best news there could possibly be. The world is not an accident. Your lives are not purposeless. You've been given life so that you can acknowledge God and serve him. Too good to be true? But we can't serve him in our own strength. So we read on in this passage what God's provision is for us. But to all who did receive him, that is to all who did receive Jesus, he gave the right to become the children of God. Those that come to Jesus are transformed into God's children. It's a miracle. I believe in that sort of miracle. Christianity does not teach that all people everywhere are God's children. But very awkwardly, for many people, it teaches that only those who come to Jesus, only those are given the authority to become the children of God. The Greek word which is translated, he gave the right to become the children of God, also means he gave the authority to become the children of God. God brings about this miracle. It's called the new birth. And you can read on to see it in this short passage. But to all who received him, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, natural birth, biological birth, does not make us the children of God. Only a new birth can do that. And this miracle is brought about by God, who can transform us into God's children. And Jesus was very careful to teach this during his ministry. John wants us to know more of this. So verse 16, he says, "And from his fullness, from the fullness of Jesus, we have all received grace upon grace." John is claiming that from Jesus, all those who received him also received grace upon grace from him. It's a very strange phrase unless you understand what grace is. Grace is God's unmerited favor to sinners and failures like me. It's not something you can earn, neither can we claim to deserve it. Grace means that God in Christ does not treat us as we deserve, but offers us help in this life. So we can say, today we can be forgiven. Today we can be given strength to overcome temptation. Today we can begin to love God and serve him. And this grace, this help, comes time and time again. John's phrase is grace upon grace. It's great news. News of the very best kind. God forgives through Jesus and offers a new life in him and doesn't leave us on our own, but provides grace upon grace to get us through the difficulties and the trials of this world. Remember, this world still lies in darkness. Now, there's much more in this golden passage from John's Gospel. But we mustn't finish before noticing that John wants us to get the truth quite clear in our minds. Look at verse 17. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The law given, the law of God given to Moses so many thousands of years ago, disclosed to us what his standards are and what God expects of us. But we found, I don't know whether you did, but I did, that it was impossible to obey the standard that God requires, up to the standards that he has. We need more help. We need a change of heart. And God, in his mercy, sent his Son, the very expression of himself, to change our situation. Now, since Jesus came, it is possible to grasp the truth about God and to receive grace. That's his help, the grace required to live in fellowship with God. But this only comes about as we receive Jesus, as we acknowledge him as Savior and Lord. So, in these next few weeks, as we rush into Christmas and fill it full of parties, tinsel and presents, can we remember that God became a man? Can we acknowledge that God became a baby who would grow up to reveal God to us and die to bring us to God? Christmas is a time to find new life, which can only come as a gift from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your attention.